want to see, wish that you have seen the Garden of Eden. Would have been so beautiful. I couldn't find any picture that describes the beauty of heaven. This is the best I could do. How about seeing the animals coming from the forest and marching into the ark without anyone directing them? Wouldn't that have been an amazing sight? How about seeing the Red Sea parting when Moses lifted up his staff and asked God, and the Red Sea parted? Wouldn't it have been amazing to see that? How about when manna fell, and you could go out and collect manna every morning and eat that bread, eat that food that came from heaven, straight from heaven. Wouldn't that be nice to eat that, taste that? Next slide, please. And how about seeing Israelites marching around the city of Jericho? When the trumpet blew, see the walls just tumbling down the hill without anyone fighting or no bomb hitting the walls, just the walls coming tumbling down. It would have been just amazing to see that. Next slide. What is this? What is this picture? The scene of Elijah praying and fire coming down from heaven and consuming the sacrifice and burning the altar, the stone, the water in the trench. So if you were there on that mountain, seeing God answering Elijah's prayer, a simple prayer, by sending fire down from heaven, wouldn't that be awesome? If you're among that and if you could witness it, it would be just so great to see that. What is this picture? Who do you think this is? Daniel,
it's working.
What if you could be maybe like a fly on the wall? Maybe you don't want to be in there, but if you could be witnessing angels just blocking lion's mouth and lion just looking at Daniel, not able to eat him, but they're hungry, they want to eat him, but they cannot, and lion being Daniel being saved from the lion's den. Wouldn't that be really awesome to be there and witness that? Mm-hmm. What is this picture?
Shepherds
and sheep on a hill at night, and angels coming down to tell them about the good timing of the baby Jesus being born that night. If you were on that hill, if you are one of the shepherds and hearing the good news that Jesus has been, the Messiah had been born, wouldn't that be really amazing? Yeah, if you could be part of that story, it would be really great. How about, what's this picture? There are a lot of people. Jesus feeding the 5,000. From one person's, one boy's sack lunch, he fed 5,000 men. And if you could see that happening, Jesus praying and just reaching in, and the bread being multiplied, the fish being multiplied, and 5,000 people being fed, and if you could eat that food, how amazing would that be? What is this story? The resurrection of who? Lazarus. If you were standing in that crowd, and if you could see, if you could have seen Jesus crying and saying, Lazarus, come forth, and just keep coming out after 4 days, saying that he's already smelling, and that corpse standing up, coming out, wouldn't you have like goosebumps all over? It would be so amazing to just watch that. How about this? If you were standing on that hill of Calvary and seeing Jesus, the Son of God, dying on the cross and going through that sacrifice, is this. 2 days later, now it's Sunday morning, and when the woman went to the tomb was empty because Jesus has risen. And if you could be there and that excitement that you could experience, it would be just so amazing. How about this story? In that upper room, 120 people top a train, and the Holy Spirit falling upon them, looking like a split of tongue, something that had looked like a tongue resting on them as they prayed and they received the Holy Spirit. They started speaking in tongues, and when Peter preached to the congregation, 3,000 people getting converted in one day. So something like that happened in the Bible, and we can see that these amazing stories took place in the Bible. As we read the Bible, we can see that, you know what, I wish I was there. I wish I could taste it. I wish I could be part of this story. But you know what? Jesus, who was alive, who was around them, is still alive today. Amen? He's still listening to your prayers, and he's answering our prayers when we pray. We can be part of the story in the Bible. I'm not saying that the Bible is not complete, and I'm not saying we should write more in and add something to the Bible. But let's think this way, that we can be part of the miracle, the story, the history of what happened in the Bible times. So my sermon title today is Unleashed, the 29th chapter of the book of Acts. Unleashed is the theme of the 10 days of prayer this year. Unleashing the power of the Holy Spirit. When we pray, when we receive the Holy Spirit, then we can unleash the power. And in the book of Acts, the story of the early church, that they have experienced so many miracles, and the church was exploding. And the book of Acts has how many chapters? 28 chapters. And now the 29th chapter of the book of Acts can be our story. What we experience in our daily lives. So friends, have you experienced the power of the Holy Spirit in this past week? Starting from Wednesday? It's been a few days. Have you prayed? Have you joined the World Church praying? Has God answered your prayer? Have you experienced something that you could be part of the Bible story, the 29th chapter of the book of Acts? So, I just want to share something that happened in the last chapter of the book of Luke. And I will read it from Luke chapter 24, because Jesus is alive. Luke 24, verses 13, it says, 13 and down, it says, "Now the same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, 'What are you discussing together as you walk along?' They stood still, their face downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, and asked him, 'Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and not knowing the things that have happened in these days?' 'What things?' he asked. 'About Jesus of Nazareth,' they replied. 'He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hope that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive.'" So the story goes on, but I'll pause here for now. So here, Jesus had just been crucified. Everyone's hope had been crushed. And these two disciples, one of them named Cleopas, and the other one, probably his friend, maybe his wife, or maybe his cousin, I don't know, Bible doesn't say. But two disciples were walking down from Jerusalem to Emmaus. How far was the distance? 7 miles. Do you like hiking? Not hiking up on the mountain, but just hiking on the road. Like if you were to go to, let's say, Lake Miramar, 5 miles around. If you walk 7 miles, how long does it take? 3 hours? 2 hours if you can walk really fast? 2.5, 3 hours, I would think. So these two were walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus. Do you think they were happy? Or they were sad? Disappointed? Excited? They were sad. Disappointed. Their hopes crushed. Because they just witnessed Jesus, whom they thought was a prophet, a Messiah, had been crucified and died. And they heard some rumors that, okay, some woman went and the body wasn't there. But they're saying that he was alive. But they weren't really sure. So they're all puzzled about all this. And they were really sad and distressed, and they were just walking home. As they were walking home, who appeared and walked along with them? Jesus.
Okay, never mind.
So as they were sad and they were walking, they lost all hope in the whole world. Do you get stressed out sometimes? Do you get disappointed? Your hope crushed? Yes. We are living in this sinful world, and we are only human beings. Things happen. Sometimes we lose our loved ones. Sometimes we lose our family, our spouses, parents, even our children. That happens. So as we live in this world, things happen, sad things happen. But when we go through some sad things, and when we are disappointed, are we left alone to deal with that? No. In this story, Jesus came and walk alongside with them. So same thing happens. When we are sad, we don't have to be too sad because we know that Jesus is alive today and he is there to comfort us. Amen?
Amen.
Now, interesting thing is this. As they were walking along and Jesus came and he talked with them, and you know, Jesus is really funny. So he's going in and saying, like, what are you guys talking about? And he's like, wait, you're just coming from Jerusalem. Are you the only one who doesn't know what's going on? How could you not know about what had happened in these past few days? And what does Jesus say? He doesn't say like, oh, I didn't know. Because that would be lying, right? And he's like, oh, I know that already. He didn't say that. Instead, what does he say? What things? he doesn't lie, but he asks the question back, saying that, what are you saying? Meaning, okay, unpack, tell me what's on your mind. So he's asking that very wise question to draw from their heart. But he doesn't lie. Very interesting. He says that, and then they start talking, like, oh, this is what happened, we had hope, and so on. So here, and they started talking. One thing that really got me puzzled here is this. So these are not the 12 apostles. These are not the part of the 120 who received the Holy Spirit. These are the people, well, they may be because that story happens later, but these are not definitely part of the 12, but they live in Emmaus, only 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they're walking home from that Passover weekend. But they know about Jesus, and they're deeply saddened by what had happened. So then, do you think they would recognize Jesus by face? Do you think they had heard him preach? I'm sure they did. I'm sure they did. But if somebody is talking to you, spending 2-3 hours walking with you and talking to each other, how could you not recognize somebody? I mean, if I were to, if I didn't see someone for like 5 years, I'm trying to think, trying to be generous and see like, how could you not recognize someone if you know that person in that proximity? If you haven't seen somebody for a long time, then it's possible. But you know what? Someone was talking about this, and then it dawned on me. I'll show you a little video. This is a video of a dad and a little baby, his baby. When the dad came back and he shaved off his beard, and the baby didn't recognize the father. Have you seen that kind of video?
Yes.
Yeah, I'll show it to you. Oh, here's the MAS. Oh,
you? You need to feel better. You cried.
Checking his father again. He's like, no, that's not my dad. Checking the third time. Like, no, that's not my dad. So, my point is that when somebody comes back with the beard gone, then the baby didn't recognize him. What does the Bible say about Jesus when he went through the crucifixion? In Isaiah 50 verse 6, the soldiers beat him, plucked his beard. So, that might be a reason. If he had lost his beard, then his face may look a little different. That could explain the story. Or, it could be that he had been crucified. He went through like a whole bunch of like torture and suffering. And after he had been resurrected, he might look a little different. It's been only a few days. Or else, that now he has been raised from the dead, now he has glorified body. So, he has the same face, but now he is glorified, so that his figure might be a little bit different. I don't know how, but somehow they didn't recognize him. And the Bible says that their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. So maybe that's why. Because the reason why God didn't allow them to recognize Jesus right away is that if they recognize Jesus, that he was the risen Savior, then do you think they wanted to hear what Jesus had to say, like the Bible study that he gave in from the beginning, from Moses all the way about Jesus?
No.
No, they would have been too excited, and they would not want to hear anything. But because their eyes were shut and they couldn't recognize him, and when Jesus was explaining about the messianic prophecy from Moses all the way down to his time, they were like, you know what, that actually makes sense. And the stories that I heard from Genesis 3:15, all the way down to the prophets, and as he was explaining the book of Psalm, or Daniel, or Jeremiah, and Isaiah, when he would be explaining things, and they would say, you know what, I thought that actually meant that Jesus coming as a king and conquering and driving everyone out and making everyone famous and powerful, and we become the strongest nation in the world. But that actually made sense. And that's the best Bible study that he had given in that 2.5 hour of time frame. And after they had heard that, they were like, you know what? That makes sense. And that's probably why their eyes were shut from recognizing Jesus. But another thing that I want to point out here is that as they were walking home from Jerusalem, what was the topic of their conversation again? They were talking about the things that just happened. Yeah, you can say that, yeah, that's the hot news that just happened just a couple days ago. But then when you have 2.5 hours of drive or walk, what do you like to talk about with your friends? Would you talk about like sports? Maybe Netflix? Maybe the K-drama that you just watched? Or maybe the hottest things that are happening, what's fun, or maybe how you can make money, or talking about your vacation that you just went. Yeah, you could have talked about many other things, but here they talked about Jesus and what had happened. Even though it was sad, they talked about it. How often do you talk about spiritual things in your life? How often do you switch gear from your everyday topic to the spiritual things? With your friends? Or with your wife, with your husband, and with your children? How often do you talk about spiritual things? So they were talking about spiritual things, and that's why Jesus was able to go and join them and explain things to them. And that's probably why, because they wanted to know. They were hungry and they were thirsty. And the Bible says, some of our women amazed us, and they went and they tried to figure out, what is this that Jesus, why did Jesus die? And now, when they, after the 2.5 hour journey was over, that evening came, and the Bible says, they were about to go into the house and have dinner. And what does the Bible say that Jesus was going to do? Verse 28, as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it is nearly evening, the day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. And that's when they found out that actually this was Jesus. So as they reached their place of destination and they were about to go in, Jesus was acting as if he was going further. He didn't want to join them. He wanted to go further out. Had they not invited Jesus in to eat with them, do you think they would have found out who that was? No. Because he was going to go further out. He was going to continue on walking by himself. So the question is this. Jesus is the one who comes after us. When we are sad, he's the one who wants to come and be with us. Is that the story? Is that the theme in the Bible? When Adam and Eve sinned, was it Adam and Eve who went to God, or was it God who came to them? God came to them in the evening, looking for them. Adam, where are you? That's the theme. When people are lost, well, so okay, the shepherd and the lost sheep. Does the lost sheep come back on his own? Or does the shepherd go after the sheep? The shepherd goes after the lost sheep, leaving 99 behind. Yes, it is the woman who is searching for the lost coins. So the theme of the Bible is that God is the one who is after us. We think that when we are sad, we are trying to search God. We are praying. We are reading the Bible. God, where are you? We think like we are after God. But no, it is the other way around. It is God who is after us. He's the one who is seeking and who is wanting to find us and comfort us, just like in this story. So he's the one who comes after us. But we have to be willing. We have to invite him in. When we do so, then he will come in and disclose fully, and he would give us greater blessings. Yes, if they missed that Jesus that night, then they would have heard the greatest story. And then they would have been in and said, you know what, that guy was some great preacher. He gave us a great Bible study. That was really good. I wish maybe maybe I could have his Instagram or email or his phone number so I could text him sometime. That was a great time. But they would have been it. But because they invited him to eat with them and they insisted, they strongly urged him to come in. Then Jesus came in with them. And as they were eating, they recognized it was actually Jesus. Then, now they met the risen Lord. And they realized it was Jesus who explained everything to them. And their heart was completely changed. And from that point on, they ran back to Jerusalem that night. Right? They didn't even eat. They just ran back 2.5 hours to meet with the rest of the disciples to say that, you know what? This is what just happened to us. And we met Jesus. He's alive. That's what they had said to them. So here is the story. Now, the interesting thing is that we need to invite Jesus in. Question. Do you think it's possible that Jesus was walking alongside with us in our daily lives as a stranger? And our eyes were blinded and we didn't recognize Jesus. He might have been there if you were driving by, if you're walking by, you're at the grocery store, at work, or maybe you are in line waiting for something. Jesus had walked by and he had done something to you, said something to you, and then you didn't recognize him. It's possible. Could have been an angel who walked by, tried to encourage us, tried to talk to us in some way in our lives. Maybe we had an encounter with an angel or with Jesus. That happened in the Bible all the time. But if we insist and invite him in, then the story changes. Our life can be changed because of that. But if we don't invite him in, then we miss that chance. So, as we go through this 10 days of prayer and have the chance to pray and encounter Jesus or meet an angel, do you want to really insist and invite Jesus in, or this stranger into our lives and experience something amazing? Or do you want to just let it slip by? It's our choice. So, if we invite Jesus in, then we can maybe write the 29th chapter of the book of Acts. We could have an amazing story. You could have a testimony that we could share. But if we don't do it, if we don't act, if we don't pray, if we don't reach out, if we don't invite someone in, then we may never experience the blessing that God has prepared for us. Do you want to experience something amazing, like how the stories happen in the Bible times? What do we need to do? We need to get engaged. We need to pray. We need to receive the Holy Spirit. We need to invite Jesus into our lives. The invitation is there. Jesus is the one who is after us. He's coming after us and he's wanting to give us more blessing. Are we ready to receive his blessing into our lives and have a great testimony that we can share? Do you have a great testimony that you can share and say, you know what, God loves me. I have experienced something really extraordinary. Do you have a story like that in your life? If you do, praise the Lord. You have experienced Jesus in your life, and you can share that with someone. And that story is not, maybe not in the Bible, but that is worthy enough to be written in the Bible if we were living at the time. And maybe you can share that story with someone and strengthen someone's faith. And your faith is also strengthened by that. But if you don't have a story as such, then it's not because Jesus doesn't love you. It's not because he doesn't want to bless you. It's not because he doesn't want to give you a powerful testimony. Maybe because we haven't prayed enough. Maybe because we haven't invited him. Open up our lives for that story to take place in our lives. Maybe it is time for us to reach out, invite someone, and pray, and ask God, God, I too want to experience the Emmaus walk. that powerful testimony, we can encounter Jesus. How many of you want to meet an angel in your life? Or see Jesus in your life? Yes. Let us pray that prayer. So God can give us something amazing, something powerful, something strong, so we can have a testimony and share that with someone in our lives. Friends, we can be part of the action. And we can be open to the spiritual things. Let us think about the spiritual things, change gear, and talk about spiritual things in our lives. And pray, get engaged, because Jesus is alive today. And invite Jesus into our lives. And he's in the business of searching and saving souls. When we pray, he will bless our lives. So let us continue to be part of this 10 days of prayer. We started, it's been a few days, but it's going to go on until next Sabbath. Pray, sign up, pray, read other people's testimonies, and pray and see how God will bless your lives, how God will change your lives. Let us be part of this great movement, and let us ask God to give us stories in our lives so we can write, be part of the 29th chapter of the book of Acts. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, just like you have come to encourage the people who are discouraged and strengthen the faith of the people who are distraught, who had lost hope, all hope, you have come and you have joined these people walking home. Lord, we ask that you would come into our hearts. We invite you to come into our lives and bless us and give us the story. Change our lives so that we can have a testimony to share. Lord, have we been praying in our lives? Have we been asking for you to show yourself to us? If we have not done so, we ask that you would please inspire our hearts and minds to be part of this 10 days of prayer. Lord, San Diego is praying. California is praying. The whole United States is praying. Canada, Mexico, and Argentina, and Asia, Europe, Australia, Africa, the whole world is praying. There are people praying at every hour of the prayer. Every hour of the day, we are praying. Lord, are we joining this movement of prayer? The whole World Church of Adventists. As we pray, help us to join this group of prayer. And if the drops of the Holy Spirit is falling around the world somewhere, help us be part of that so that we can also receive the drops of the rain of the Holy Spirit, so that we can also experience a change of heart. We can have this testimony to experience Jesus in our lives. Lord, we want to experience you in our lives. We also want our lives to be changed, that we can be ready for your soon coming. Please bless this church. Bless this congregation so that we can receive the falling of the latter rain that will change our character and prepare us for your soon coming. Please bless us.